This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Record temperatures are crushing our friends in the Pacific Northwest. It affected some of the Olympic trials. And all eyes, I think not just in the U.S., but in other parts of the world, are watching to see what happens at this Florida condo as the death toll is rising. But the fear, of course, is that there's so many bodies buried beneath. And this was a building that needed $9 million in repairs. It was sinking, and they knew it. There is another condo, they call it the sister building, that might have to be evacuated, according to the governor, Governor DeSantis of Florida. And oh boy, when you see what's happening there, and we think of infrastructure and other things as far as buildings are concerned, but roads, bridges, etc., it really, really takes your breath away. Hey, everybody, hope you had a fabulous weekend. And if you were in those hot, hot temperatures, you found a way to get cool. Kate Delaney is always rolling out the red carpet for the newbies and for some of you veterans. Well, you know how we roll here. Coming up, we've got the mailbag, what's on tap, and some fun with Sir Eric. This or that. We'll get into that at the end of this hour. But first, let's talk about these search teams. It reminded me eerily because I was in New York on 9/11 and I was on the air, and it was probably the worst couple months of my life, I would have to say. And, you know, at first nobody knew it was happening. And, you know, the whole story of 9/11. In this case, we're talking about this building collapsing where it just, the floors just fell. So you had one victim who died in the hospital. You had workers pulling more bodies from the wreckage. You have scores of dogs that are sniffing and trying to help and find people, praying that somebody finds an air pocket and they can pull some victims from this pile, this rubble that is strewn all over the place in Surfside. You have hysterical relatives who have pictures up of their sons and daughters and grandmothers and mothers and fathers that remind me again very much of 9/11 on a smaller scale. And there's stories about people racing out of the condominium just in time or not being part of that nightmare because they decided to stay somewhere else that night instead of go home. It is a nightmare. A 30-foot pile of pancaked concrete and just wrecked, mangled metal. And that's the remains of a 12-story building. The mayor of Miami-Dade, Mayor Cava, had this to say about what was happening.
Cutting a deep trench to assist us. It's now 125 feet in length into the pile. It's 20 feet wide and 40 feet deep. Now, this trench is very critical to the continuation of the search and rescue process. We've continued all night to build that that trench, and as a result of that, we were able to recover four additional bodies in the rubble, as well as additional human remains. As of today, one victim passed away in the hospital, and we've recovered eight more victims on site. So I am confirming today that the death toll is at nine.
All right, and of course, the fear is, you know, we're talking about 150 people that are still unaccounted for. So now there's conversation about was there payoffs for permits? Was there things that happened behind the scenes that shouldn't have happened because they knew the building wasn't safe? But for now, the focus is still on recovery, maybe rescuing someone. There could be that miracle. You never know. Of course, the more the days go by, the tougher, honestly, that becomes, and miracles really kind of fade, but it is a sad, sad sight to see. It is a crazy, hopefully, anomaly, because there are other buildings in Miami that are sinking. There have been so many problems with floods and whatnot there that the conversations about lifting buildings up and talking about stilts and talking about how safe are some of these other buildings, and there's no question it is a state of emergency there. You got therapy dogs trying to comfort families because of that Miami building collapse. Here's a story that really gave me pause. There's a University of Connecticut basketball player, and he was with his sister, and they were on the 11th floor, and they were watching TV late. They decided to stay up late, and it was, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they said that the building, they could see, like, it felt like the building was shaking, and then they saw this debris on the balcony, so they ran out the door, and when they ran out the door, they realized the elevators were gone, and so was their neighbor's condos, so immediately they hit the staircase and flew down the staircase as fast as they could. They got to about the third floor and saw a woman trying to also get out who was struggling, had a cane and was walking slowly, and they scooped her up and they got out of there and kept moving until they got to the water line, because this condo had the water view, was close to the beach, and the idea was keep going, don't look back, because this whole thing may fall and who knows how far it falls. And of course it did collapse, but that's a scary story, right? That they acted fast and were one of the lucky ones that actually got out in the middle of what was happening. So you have relatives of the missing that have been waiting since Thursday of last week for any signs of life from their loved ones, anything that will give them hope that perhaps somebody can be there. And like I said, now it's, if anything, there certainly is the reality of recovery. And recovery is better than not knowing. That was the horror show of 9/11, because there were so many not recovered. But maybe a ring would be found, and that could be identified or something else. And that was so tough for families because they had nothing to bury. I mean, that's the other side of this. And there is something about that ritual and death that gives some people comfort. You know the hot jokes that go around every year? I mean, I got a slew of them. We're going to bring back our one-liner Fridays, but I thought about this weekend, and I'm with you. I've been in some of these hot temperatures in my life. It's so hot. At one point, I bought a loaf of bread, and before I got home, it was toast. Ba-dum-bump. Not funny, though, if you live in the Northwest. I have some friends that live up there, and they say no matter what they do, they are just on fire. 112 degrees, Portland, Seattle, 104 degrees in between that. And Canada saw a temperature of 116, the highest they say they've ever observed. So it's in the books. There's all kinds of records that are being smashed, the kinds of records people don't really want to deal with. In Seattle, it's 5:30 at night and it's 104 degrees. That's hot. And it's hot for a place that doesn't really get that hot, right? The Pacific Northwest. You can have hot days, but I mean, these are crazy, crazy, crazy temps. Now, in the upcoming days, if I'm going to play weather person here at the beginning of the show and throw this in, because this show is about what's happening in your backyard and mine, and we got tons of people that listen in that area. The good news is the high temperature records will start to fall. So, Seattle's going to have some triple digit heat and it's going to continue, but then it's going to cool down. So it's coming. In the meantime, keep the ice flowing. Keep the ice going. That's my advice. We're headed to the mailroom next.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission, and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
All right, as usual, the mailbag is full, and it's everything from A to Z, thanks to all of you. 24/7, you can flip me your thoughts, K to KateDelaneyRadio.com. This one from Chad, who says, "Kate, how about this U.S. women gymnastic team? That once again, I expect the women will clear the board. I don't think they've lost since 2011. You would be right. And, of course, Simone Biles can set even more records. She's a lot of fun to watch. She's like the old lady on the team. Ooh, you're 23? Ah, you're ancient. You're ancient. But she fell on the beam, and she had a couple of minor mistakes, but she is the best gymnast in the world, and she had a 2-point advantage heading into the final days, etc. So she's definitely secured her spot on the team. That's not a shocker. And Team USA should have a pretty strong showing. And with everything that's happened, all the nasty, horrible stories that have happened, Larry Nassar, the sexual harasser, the predator, and what's going on with USA Gymnastics, I hope that they crush everybody in their wake and win yet more medals. So Simone Biles and Sunisa Lee are going to represent the United States in Tokyo. They got automatic spots on the team by finishing in the top two at the trials. I mean, even like I said, even though Biles fell, she had that extra oomph, that extra couple of points that made that workout. So pretty interesting. Yes, and go, 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 go. Absolutely. Thanks for throwing that in there, Chad. All right, so we move on to this one. This one is from Jake, and Jake says, "Kate, how about the fact that Iran is going to get theirs? You've talked about this for a long time, where you have the idea of exercising caution, but what about the accountability with Iran? And now you've got U.S. Targets that are right there in the sites of these Iran-backed militias in the Iraq and the Syrian airstrikes. Yeah. Well, to not confuse everyone, you had U.S. forces that launched the airstrikes on facilities on both sides of the Iraq-Syria border. The Pentagon released that info on Sunday, and that was in response to recent drone attacks on U.S. troops in that area that were carried out by the Iranians, by Iran-backed militias. So two militia locations in Syria were attacked, along with one in Iraq, and they were kind of defensive. They described them as defensive in nature, right? So small, explosive-laden drones, that kind of stuff. And, hey, there have been at least five drone attacks on the U.S. in these different areas in the region this year. Five of them. Yeah. One of the hits was used in the launch and recovery of armed unmanned aircraft. Yeah. So anyway, you got to protect the personnel over there. You got to fight back. And so this is, you know, these are retaliatory strikes in response to these attacks by these Iranian-backed militias that are relying more on rockets to attack U.S. troops. And it's bad, boy. You talk to some of the people in the region when some of the worst shelling has taken place, and they're lucky they can hear. It's that bad. So this is what had to happen, you know. Look, a U.S. contractor died after a small attack on an air base in March. And you got 2,500 U.S. troops still in Iraq. So you got to monitor whatever this escalation is and where it's coming from. And you have to have airstrikes. You have to fight back. You can't just stand there. You just can't sit there and not fight back. So that's exactly what all that was about. Keep an eye and watchful eye on what's happening there. Yeah, it's part of that is that whole accountability thing. All right, this one is incredibly relevant. This one is from Bill, who's listening to us in Wisconsin. And he says, "Hey, Kate, I've been meaning to reach out to you for a long time. I know you've talked about spending some time in Wisconsin. I think you went to a wedding there. You have relatives there. And we're glad we have you on 680 AM. So rest assured you have some fans, and I'm certainly one of them. What did you think of what happened with the Derek Chauvin sentencing? Do you think that it went far enough? And or were you just surprised in general? Not surprised. No, I wouldn't say surprised. 22 years, and that happened, on Friday? 22 and a half years. Longest of any police officer in the United States that any has gotten in modern times for the death of a civilian. So the thing that's going to be a real telltale sign as to what will happen is what about the three other police officers? What happens in their trials? Watch that, right? Watch that to see what happens. I mean, listen, you had this whole video, this long video of what people screaming, he's choking, you're killing him, he's dying, whatever. I mean, there were some astonishing moments in that Chauvin trial. You had multiple, I've never seen this. And I've, in my television days especially, I covered cops and courts and, you know, in Albuquerque, in El Paso, in California. So in different cities in California. So you had multiple police officers testifying for the prosecution. And the police chief wearing a full uniform testifying that Chauvin's behavior was not a reasonable use of force in line with their policy of that department. So that when once that happened, you knew there's no way. How will this sentence be a light sentence? It's not going to be a light sentence. So I wasn't surprised by that. I want to see what happens with the other, you know, with the other officers. What what happens in their cases. All right, let's move over to this one. This one is from Jean, who says, hey, Kate, I don't know if you saw this or not. Don't know if you'll bring it up in the man cave or not, but did you hear about the Tour de France and the huge crash and how many bikers were taken out, how many cyclists were taken out of this in this first stage of the race on Saturday? You know what? Somebody texted me because I didn't watch it, but I heard about it, and I was going to roll on a recording later, which I did. But there was a spectator. It was a spectator that caused these cyclists, the pileup of cyclists, because she stepped in their path, and this was the first stage. The crash was the first of two. And, you know, here you have people finally back, the normal spot on the calendar because of the coronavirus pandemic. It was delayed last time around. She had a large sign, and she ran, you know, she was right there, jumped out into the front, and she clipped one of the racers, Tony Martin. He lost his balance and set off a chain reaction, and so those cyclists just flew like dominoes. They just sprawled across the pavement, and she stepped in front of the peloton to display the sign for the TV camera. So spectators, cyclists were injured in that first crash, and the Tour's deputy director, I saw this, so I'm glad you actually asked me this, said, we're going to sue this woman who behaved so badly. You know, we're doing this so that the tiny, tiny minority of people who do this don't spoil the show for everyone. Now, she hasn't been found. She ran away right away, realizing what was happened. And it's, you see the massive pileup, and it's unbelievable. I mean, it's crazy to see. You had, you know, the second pileup happened near the end of the stage. You had riders that were going full speed. So it was a wild, stressful day. Let's put it that way. I mean, just incredibly stressful. All right, it had to be stressful for this guy. I got this from William, who says, Kate, I know that you've been to Portland. I think I've heard you say you played golf and went to our fabulous wineries. I know you have friends in the Pacific Northwest. Don't call them and make any kind of reference to the heat. It's been unbearable. I don't care what kind of air conditioning system you have. We are not used to this heat. And you can say, well, it's that time of year, and we can talk about all kinds of other things, but we're not used to 114 degrees. It's historic. I think I stayed in the house the entire time and tried to keep my cave cold. That's a smart thing to do, my friend. Stay with us.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden has ordered airstrikes near the Iraq-Syria border on Iranian-backed militias. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby said in a statement that the strikes were in retaliation for a number of unmanned aerial vehicle attacks on American personnel and facilities in Iraq, calling them a matter of self-defense. The Pentagon says there have been a handful of UAV attacks and dozens of rocket attacks on U.S. forces in the area, prompting the airstrikes. And the death toll from the collapse of a Florida condominium tower has risen to 9 people as the search for survivors entered a fourth day. 152 people remain unaccounted for following the partial collapse of the 12-story building early Thursday morning. The city of Surfside, where the tower is located, has declared a state of emergency, along with neighboring Miami Beach, where much of the staging for the search and rescue effort have been taking place. You're listening to USA Radio News. One cruise ship has returned to the high seas. Tim Berg has the details.
The first cruise ship from a U.S. port in 15 months has set sail from Fort Lauderdale. The cruise ship Celebrity Edge left Florida just after 6 p.m. local time Saturday night on a 7-night voyage with stops in Mexico and the Bahamas. The ship is sailing at 40% capacity to allow for social distancing. The entire crew is reportedly vaccinated for COVID-19, along with most of the passengers. At the helm is Katie McHugh, who is the first and only American female captain of a large cruise ship. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And former Alaska Senator Mike Gravel has died. He served 2 terms in the Senate, becoming best known for reading the Pentagon Papers into the congressional record in 1971. He also ran for president in 2008 and 2020, confronting then-Senator Barack Obama during a 2007 debate over nuclear weapons. Mike Gravel was 91. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
What's on tap? In other words, what's coming up? It's an interesting week to say the least. It always is, isn't it? Right? I mean, I don't even have to set it up that way. One of the things that's got a lot of people curious as to what's going to happen here is the Trump Organization's attorneys have been given a Monday deadline to persuade prosecutors not to file charges against it. So what does all that mean? It means something that you might not even be aware of, but prosecutors in New York have been after Trump with taxes and a whole slew of other things. They haven't said we're after Trump, but they have been investigating his financial dealings. So this is a big deadline because it kind of sends up a not so strong, or maybe it is pretty strong, smoke signal that the Manhattan District Attorney and the New York Attorney General are now working together. They've spent 2 years investigating his business, and they're considering criminal charges against the company. So let me say that again. Criminal charges against the company, against the former president. Earlier this year, Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance convened a grand jury in Manhattan to consider indictments in the investigation. Nobody has been charged so far, and it is very possible that no charges will be filed, which is what I initially thought would happen. But
prosecutors are showing interest in whether the company used misleading valuations of its properties to deceive lenders and taxing authorities, and in whether taxes were paid on fringe benefits for company execs. So they really looked under every file and file cabinet that they could find. But what does it all mean? Again, Trump on Saturday kicked off a planned series of rallies to look at, to boost his, I'm sure, and also other Republicans' future election prospects. And he still owns his businesses through a trust managed by his adult sons and by his attorney who's involved in it, Weiselberg, his name is. And he gave up that day-to-day management of the company when he was in the White House. What role now he plays, you know, who knows? Trump called the investigations a witch hunt run by Democrats seeking to damage his future political prospects. And he says it began the day he came down the escalator in Trump Tower. It never stopped. He's talking about the start of the presidential campaign in 2015. So, you know, people around him have been investigated, and including Weiselberg's personal finances. And I'm sure part of that is, would he be persuaded to offer testimony against his boss? But from what I understand is they're frustrated with a lack of cooperation from him. So what does this mean? I mean, you know, there's a web of hundreds of individual limited liability corporations, which are ultimately controlled by a trust. So this was all the sorting out. Will this lead to, it's the first time I saw really everywhere I looked, criminal. Nothing has been filed. Nobody's been arrested. Nobody's been charged with anything. But saying that, okay, your Monday deadline, you have a Monday deadline to persuade prosecutors not to file charges against it. So we'll see. Is that going to be the headline? That's a big what's on tap, right? Yeah, absolutely. So Bruce Springsteen, he might belly up to the bar and have one of those. It was just a crazy insanity, I hear, at the St. James Theater. Why? Because he opened up Broadway. He brought it back to life on Saturday night, a full-length performance, since everything was silenced for 15 months. So at 71, the rock and roll superstar gave the audience what they craved, a two-and-a-half-hour show, 1,700-seat theater. It's called Springsteen on Broadway, and it's going to be there for the summer. So interesting that, you know, he played his sets, included Thunder Road, The Rising, Dancing in the Dark, and that kind of stuff, and some from his early music. But what's on tap there is you got to have a connection if you're going to get any of these tickets. Now, for the other Broadway shows, if you are stumbling back into New York and you're listening to me in Connecticut or other places, or maybe you're going to go there for a vacation, then it's kind of the same thing. I think that people are starved everywhere in the country for live performances, whether it's the dive bar down the street with the cool guitarist or gritty band playing, or on the big, big bad world stage, you know, a Bruce Springsteen in a big moment. I think entertainment, we're entertainment starved. And I would imagine that all the shows on Broadway will be scooped up and all the shows in your local dive bar will be filled. I could be wrong, but it's starting to happen. And people are asking, well, when is this coming back? When is that coming back? And I've said that, and we see it with sports, how it's critical that you have now massive amounts of people going back to watch Major League Baseball or to watch the playoffs in the NBA. And we're still seeing that there are some protocols, but people are there, and they're going back. And absolutely, entertainment, music. I mean, music is, to me, music is is everything, right? Because you can remember, when was the first song you, well, you know, what, think about this. What was the first album? What was the first CD? What was the first whatever streaming song you ever heard? What was the first concert that you ever went to? What concerts have you been to? And it might just be local music. You might be a musician and you're just itching to get out there and play. So that, I think that world explodes big. And so what's on tap is look at concerts coming to your area and get those tickets before they get snapped up. I know I did that today. My nephew's coming to visit me, and he just turned 20, which I'm shocked. He's 20. And I want to take him to a concert. I'm going to go old school on him. I'm going to take him to Earth, Wind, and Fire and Santana because he likes, he likes new music, all kinds of music. But he also asks me all the time about music from the 70s or 80s or even the 90s. And I think it would be kind of a good, like, throwback thing for him. So that was what I did. I was absolutely looking for that. I was reading something about, you know, we're all trying to figure out what's going to happen with the economy after the pandemic, right? And how quickly, how strong do we get an economic bounce back, a recovery since the pandemic? And I was listening to, somebody told me to listen to the Cats Round Table on WABC in New York. I was listening to what they were talking about, that because are we in danger of it as we increase the national debt by $22 trillion over the next decade if we pass all the things that are out there on the White House's agenda? What does it, you know, does a great country not borrow its way to prosperity? And what does that mean if we're running ahead of the rest of the world in pickup and recovery from COVID? Should we already have a strong second half of the year economically? You know, so infrastructure to me, I said this the other day, I think the focus has to be, just no matter what, don't put everything in these deals and not get them passed anyway. Go for the bridges, the airports, the roads. Desperately, they need them. Desperately. So put the rest of it aside and squabble over that, but get this first part passed and get the Democrats and Republicans to agree on it and move it forward. Move it forward and have more people hired. And, you know, it's interesting. We talk about recovery. There's so many companies looking for workers. I'm not kidding. Every day in my little part of the world, and you may be seeing this in your, where you hail from too, whatever nook or cranny you live in. I see wanted workers, everything from essential workers to skilled labor to you name it. It seems like every place I step into needs to hire people, and they're desperate for it, and it's affecting businesses. It certainly is affecting the hospitality business, because the exciting thing about the hospitality business is it's back. It's opening back up. People are going to restaurants. More people are staying in the hotels and traveling. But are there enough people to work the hotels? Are there enough people to work in the restaurants? And the answer is, in a lot of cases, no. Because there's just not enough. I went into a diner with a couple of friends over the weekend, and there must have been, I want to say it was a pretty big place. There's about 20 tables, and you had one waiter. I felt so bad for him. Talk about an aerobics workout. Wait a second. You need coffee? Wait. What did you have? It's just craziness. Because somebody called in sick and they didn't have enough people, and they are having a tough time getting people to come back to work. This or that, coming up next. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
That Eric Salazar, our technical maestro, joins us now in the virtual soundproof studio we're in, right?
Hey, what's up, Kate?
Oh, too much. You and I are both in that too much category, which is okay.
Yeah, it's that time of the year, I think.
It is.
Hustle and bustle.
It is. There is. I like that. Hustle and bustle. You're right. So, for this or that, this may be strange, but it's not a, there's a reason I'm asking you this. Would you rather have a broken leg or a broken arm, this or that?
I like that one. I've had a broken arm, so I'll go with the broken arm.
What was that like, having a broken arm?
It wasn't too bad. Just a lot of sitting around, and it's hard to open bottles and stuff like that. Not like bottles of liquor. I mean, just like any bottle, you know.
Right. And you had it in a cast, and how long did you have to deal with it? Do you remember?
It was about 6 months or less. It wasn't in a cast. It was in a brace.
I've never had either. So I've been lucky, knock on this desk, boom, boom. I've never had either, and I would think just like you, and you went through the broken arm. I would think a broken arm would be easier in some ways. It's not, and there's things that would be not good about it. But versus the broken leg, if you have to move around, and you're on crutches, and you're maneuvering crutches, and you're... I don't know. I think that would be tough.
Yeah, that's the worst. I had a knee surgery, and, like, crutches are the worst.
What'd you have a knee surgery for? You've knocked your knee out?
I tore my meniscus.
You've had way more things happen to you than me. Yikes. You know, when I lived in New Mexico, you go in these curio stores, and they have, that's why I was bringing this up, and I just was in one, they have these little things. They have, like, you'll see them, they're metal, and it's like an arm, and there's a leg, and there's a head, and there's all these different, like, body parts and other things. And I remember looking at it, and I said to the shop owner, I don't understand this. What do these mean? And he said, oh, well, that's like a tradition. It's an ancient cultural kind of thing that if you have a broken arm or you have a broken leg or someone you know does or someone is having problems with their liver or they're having problems with their stomach or they're having problems with this, that you keep that metal close to you and to help them, you know, get through that.
Cool. What was that called again?
You go into a curio store anywhere in like New Mexico or Mexico, and it's they're little metal like medallions. They're actually cut in the shape of parts, like a liver part, a head part. So I was kind of freaked, like, what is this? The Day of the Dead things I've never seen or something? And he laughed and he said, no, that's a cultural thing. And he explained it to me. That if you're having headaches, like I'm having headaches, that's the way to pray for them to go away is to have that little piece with you. And it's not that you're worshiping the piece. It's just a thing to remind you, oh, yeah, please, you know, take this away from me.
Sweet. I'm going to try that.
I'm going to go get all the body parts and find them. You can find them. Trust me, anywhere in New Mexico. All right. So, if you have the opportunity to be on a movie set or a TV set, and you get to eat at the craft table, you can meet the actors, you can meet the directors and all the people, like you're not an interloper, they think it's cool, you're fine to be on set, you have your own little chair there and all that. Would you rather be on a movie set or a television set? A TV set?
A movie set, for sure.
Movie set. Yeah, like for F9 1000 or something?
Yeah, I don't know what good movies are out now, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think movie set, too. I think a TV... it's not that TV wouldn't be good. I mean, hey, either one. But a TV... I have been on a TV set before, and it's... you know, you're mostly in a green room, and then depending on what the show is or what they're filming or what they're doing, it's... you're on a sound stage in a back lot somewhere, and maybe on a movie set you might be on location.
Yeah, I'd like to be on a Quentin Tarantino movie set.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I'd like to be on that set with Leo and Brad Pitt.
Oh, did you see that?
Oh, it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I gotta see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it. It's a great movie. And for everybody listening, and you might think, oh, Quentin Tarantino, isn't that violence and Kill Bill and whatever? No, this is a really good movie. I remember my mother-in-law, who liked only Disney things, saw it and said it was the best movie ever.
Good to know. Oh, yeah, I forgot it was by Disney, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well... I'm saying she liked Disney movies. And so, like, meaning she wouldn't like any violent things or whatever. And she saw it and thought it was just great. I mean, he's done Reservoir Dogs. You got to think about the kinds of movies that he's done. Pulp Fiction and Glorious Bastards, Kill Bill. So you can tell I know his work. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know all those. I thought like, Disney, like, paid for it.
No. But that is like making the point that, hey, he's saying, and you know, it's so interesting. He lives in Israel. He lives in Israel, and he says he misses Los Angeles, and he I think he maybe he does like one more movie, but I don't even know if he does another movie, which, ooh, he's so talented. Elton John, you have a chance to be backstage, check out the concert, all that kind of stuff. Would you go to an Elton John concert, who he's touring, or Foo Fighters, this or that?
Ooh, tough one. Tough one. Elton John.
Elton John. You went old school, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, he seems just more interesting, you know? More talented, maybe.
And there, it just would be, I just think it would be interesting to see Elton John. And how many opportunities are you going to get to see Elton John? You might be able to see the Foo Fighters more. The Foo Fighters are my favorites, but I think I would have more of a shot at seeing them again versus Elton John to be backstage with the legend, iconic Elton John. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Foo Fighters are great and all, but they're just not as interesting, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Elton John. Slippers or bare feet, this or that? Would you be sporting those slippers, you know, when you're roaming around trying to get that cup of coffee or walking outside to, you know, check things out after a long night? Or are you Mr. Bare Feet?
I'm Mr. Bare Feet. Not by choice, per se, but yeah.
That means you need slippers. It's like if somebody gave you some cool slippers, you would wear them, basically.
Yeah, I try them on. I try them out. See if I can deal with them.
I try them out. That's a good answer. I try them out. I didn't have slippers ever until I went to Ireland, and I was at the biggest sheep farm in Ireland, and they had these wool slippers, and they were amazing. And I thought, you know what? We have like wood floor and some brick. I'm gonna get them, and it was so worth it. I wear them all the time.
Really? So
yeah.
So slippers are a big thing over there?
Oh, huge, because it's cold and wet and damp. So anything, you know, you're wearing hats, you're wearing gloves, you're wearing scarves, anything to keep you warm, yeah.
Do they have really nice ones?
Yes. Men and women. Cool. So for men and women. So it's not, and they're not, they look good. I mean, but they, more importantly, they really keep your feet warm. So
I want some now.
I know. It's a good thing. I'm just saying. It's a good thing. Okay, last one. Lighter in or out in the car? Do you even have a lighter? You know how people always used to stick the lighter in and now you plug in your devices that way? Do you have the lighter? Do you use it?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely you want the lighter spot.
Yep.
Yeah, me too. I use it to charge everything because I just put the hookup in there and then poof, you know, the iPhone gets charged.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, who's going to say no to the lighter? Maybe that was a stupid one. All right, Eric, once again, thank you so much for your great work on the technicals and for this version of This or That.
Thank you, Kate.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.